Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
What is up? As always, I'll start off by thanking our sponsors. I'd like to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com and use code WH, you can save 10% on your order of power carving burrs and discs, which I just got in a whole host of different things from, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, we got some goodies.
I'll be teaching power carving at High Caliber Camp this year.
Ah, yes, yes.
So, Sabretooth has graciously sponsored us, or sponsored me for that. So, I'm pretty stoked on that. I got a bunch of new stuff to use down there and let people try out and find a love for power carving.
Nice.
They're great tools. I use them. You should too.
Yes, and I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. And you can find him at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
What is going on, Tony?
It's been a kind of a nutty weekend.
I can only imagine.
But tonight was getting ready for my trip to Sarnia, Ontario, of all places. Google that place. There's not much there. I think they call it Chemical Valley is actually what they call it, that area.
Why is it called Chemical Valley?
It is a large refining area. So there's a lot of refiners and chemical plants and all kinds of industry like that. It's on the Great Lakes, so it's in a kind of a good spot for distribution. But the reason I'm going is there's a school there, a fire training school. So I'm doing my yearly kind of training. We usually go once a year, once every couple of years. And since COVID, we haven't been going we hadn't gone at all. And now we're trying to get back at getting all of our firefighters trained, and not kind of more of a refresher for some of us, because you know it's been part of my job since I started 20 years ago. So it's but you can see it, and I felt it last year when I went. There was a lot of ring rust, as I'll put it.
Rust.
Yeah, just the way we go through, and we have certain tactics that we use, and you could see like everybody's movements and things weren't what they should be included. And I'm not calling anybody out, cause I was there with them. And, it was kind of frustrating after at one point in time, feeling like we were fairly skilled to then feeling like we weren't. So, but that was day one. And by the end of, we do 3 days, it's like three 8 hour days. And by the time the third day was done, we were all feeling pretty good. So, excited for it. It's always a good time. Usually a good bunch of people to get away with. There's 15 of us going, and there's 15 last week, and I think there's 15 the week after us. So they're sending, like, that's a good portion of our fire brigade is going this year for sure.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. Busy week. Are you gonna have much time to review the Make What You Fear entries going in?
I hope so. I will have the evenings to myself to do what I will. I will have to put some time into that for sure.
Yeah.
If you guys are willing to put the time in, I got to put the time in too. So.
Yeah, I was going through a little bit this weekend. There's a lot of cool entries. It is if you're just joining us, Make What You Fear is a competition we put on. It ends on the 31st, so that'll be this Sunday as this comes out. I think it's a Sunday, but the 31st. So if you want to participate, the challenge is to do a new material you've never done, or a new process you've never done before, or a project you have failed at in the past. Do 5 posts on Instagram, tag Working Hands Podcast in the tagged posts feature on Instagram, and you'll be entered to win. We have some great prizes, some from Bowshield T9, Rob DeMarco's making stuff, Gnome Hammer Forge is putting in a hammer set, Housemade.us is putting something in, our sponsors of Maritime Knife Supply and Sabretooth, Tota Boat is putting in a prize, as well as a silver ticket to the Maker Camp. Austin over at the Maker Camp gave us a silver ticket to give out. So if you haven't started yet, good luck. You only have half a week. it could happen, or you could be working on something that you can go and do the five posts for. But it has to be completed by March 31st, and we will announce the winners next week. Get after it. Get out there. Get motivated. Go do something. It's one winner. Tell us the story about why it was challenging. There's some amazing stuff already out there, but you never know what could come out. Now's the hot and heavy time where people start posting. So it should be very interesting this week to see what is happening.
Yeah, it's the
final countdown, as you say.
It's the normal way for makers. Seems to be every year we've had probably more people in the last week than we do for the entirety of the challenge. So.
Yeah, it should be fun though. I'm excited. To see what people have already done. So I'm excited to see what hasn't been posted yet and will be posted now. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's always it's a highlight of the year for sure.
Yeah, as far as this podcast goes anyway. We get it done in the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, man. So what else is up? How's your Make What You Fear project going? Are you done? You're going to be away all week. I hope you're done.
No, I am not done. I will be back on Friday, like late morning, so I will have all Friday. I really think I can get it tidied up in a few hours. Probably a few hours turns into 6 or 8, but it is what it is.
Yeah, isn't that how it always happens?
Yeah. I got my metal for my legs. I just got to sort out a jig of some kind to make those legs all the same, which would be nice. Which that's probably 6 or 8 hours right there. So it's going to take some time, but I'll get there.
Cool.
I think it'll be more trying to get the post done for, I think I've got 2 posts done so far. So I only need 3 more, but as you know, how I am,
adept at posting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a skill set that I possess. So I don't know. We'll see it. I'm excited to get it done. I'll be happy to have the table done. Like, it's going to be a nice addition to the house. So that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, it looks nice already, so I can't wait to see it finished.
Yeah, I just got a few, 2 more grits that Nick gave me. I think it's like, I put 80 on it so far, and then it's 120, 150, and then the finish. But then I'm going to do the backside first, not sand it, but router.
For where the legs go.
A few flat spots for the legs. And I'll probably have to sort something out as far as like sanding it smooth, because it's still like bandsaw, like bandsaw mill smooth on the backside. So I have to kind of clean that up a little bit, but that shouldn't take.
Get some 80 grit and let it roll.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do. I've got 80. Yeah, I got 80 for my little palm sander. I don't need it to be perfect. I just need it to be, you know, I don't want flyaways on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to damage Nick's nice sander trying to work through that. So.
Yeah. And obviously this is a challenge. And, for those of you who may have started one and it doesn't look like you're going to finish for whatever reason, post those anyway. We want to see it. So post it, tag us. We'll talk about it on the pod. Even if you don't finish, just give us a quick reel as to why you didn't finish, or caption in one of your posts or something. It could be interesting. It could still motivate somebody, inspire somebody else to do something cool. So don't hold back because it's not done or it's not finished or it's not the way you want it. It's still cool. We'll talk about it here. We'll share the posts and stuff on Instagram as long as we're around when they come in.
Yeah,
I was away this weekend. So if anyone tagged us and I didn't share it, I apologize. I will get there.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying. I I uploaded a couple stories that we were tagged in. So I did step up a little bit on the Instagram.
I appreciate that. I wasn't really on Instagram at all this weekend. You know what the service is like up there. I was up at the Blackthorn for the class. So
yeah, the Blackthorn it's thin as far as service.
Especially for my carrier. It's tough up there.
Yeah, it's getting better though. I found the comparison to the first year, 2019, I went up or down. I guess
there was no service.
It was like next to nothing. I can remember trying the entire weekend to post like a 30-second video of a lift or something. I think it was something powerlifting, and I couldn't get it to work for the entire week. The entire weekend. I just couldn't get it to work. And the second I got home, like crossed the Canadian border and it worked. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have the US server. I didn't have the roaming or whatever on. So I was basically airplane mode from the US border down, then whatever Wi-Fi I could pick up. So
the service was fine if you weren't inside the pavilion, but for some reason inside the pavilion this weekend he had the tent walls up and it was bad weather. Like we got snow and rain and ice. We got 4 inches of snow while we were up there on Saturday. So unless you went outside, because he had the tent walls up around the pavilion, so unless you went outside the tent walls, I didn't have any service inside.
Gotcha. So this is going to be an oddball question, but would something like those DC motors on those fans, would that mess with reception? No. Okay. No. I don't know. You always hear stories like that. People say, oh, this will do that or this will do.
Yeah. It's wrong.
Okay.
yeah.
It's a question.
It may affect electronics around there, but as far as your cell signal, no. I mean, it may affect your phone per se, but it's not affecting the signal to your phone.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. That wouldn't be affected by that stuff. But if you had like some cheap electronics, like a orange CNC machine, yeah, it may affect it then.
Right.
Yeah. So I went up for that. I went up for the blacksmithing intensive this weekend. And it was, if you have any interest in learning or taking a class in blacksmithing, start saving your pennies now. Cause, it was a worthwhile class.
It looked like you guys were doing some beginner type stuff, like getting like building your own tools kind of thing. So looked pretty good.
I don't know. I guess it's beginner stuff.
Well, beginner intermediate, because you're getting into heat treat.
Yeah, we like did some heat treating. Yep, tempering. But yeah, I'll get into all that later. But like Cliff is a phenomenal teacher, and you know his sidekick John is good. Yeah. No, they're both good.
Don't let him scare you.
No. He's hilarious, though. But yeah. Obviously, like Cliff is like the driving force in the instruction. And then as it's going on, John will help you out with whatever you have. You know, he can answer all the questions. But as far as like, I guess you want to call it like the lecture time, like when he's actually demonstrating or doing something, that's all through Cliff, you know, and he walks you through everything and then you have to go do it. And then they're both there. So it's like, I mean, obviously, there's some downtime in blacksmithing when you're heating stuff up or when you're just hammering something easy or something without anything. That downtime is fine, but then it's almost like one-on-one instruction because there's the two instructors, you know? So whenever you have a question, they're right there to answer it, you know? They're ready to answer it. So that part was cool. But yeah, we knocked out a ton of stuff in the weekend. So it was fun. A lot of fun. If you're interested, I don't know what the class will be next year. I think this year, what'd they call it? I don't know. It was essentially, we made
blacksmithing tools.
Yeah. But I don't know what they described what we were doing as, but basically what we did was we made hot and cold chisels so that if you are going to blacksmith at home, you can go home with the tools you need. And then after that, you could use the chisels you made to make all sorts of different things. Like most people were making draw knives at the end of it.
Nice.
One guy made three draw knives just today alone. And then everyone else made a draw knife. I think I was the only one who didn't.
Three in a day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he was cooking.
He was. Yeah, that guy's an animal. That's Sebastian. He does not stop for anything at all, period. There's no conversation. There's no nothing. He's there to work. He's there. He's getting the most out of it, you know. And he didn't finish him. I mean, obviously, he has a blacksmith set up at home, but he doesn't have all the tools, fixturing, and everything that was available to him during the class, like a press and guillotines and things like that. So he knocked out three as far as he could get.
Yeah.
That's, and he got them far enough to where, okay, those are three draw knives. Like, he got that far. Obviously, the finishing part and the grinding and all that, he's going to do at home. But
yeah, that's smart. I would, I remember kind of being the same way when I was at the
School of Metalwork.
Yeah, New England School of Metalwork. That was kind of the idea, was to get as much done as possible in that, in those, like, I had 5 days with that one. That was a long one.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to almost all the intensives that they offer up there. And, of course, a couple I was just around the Blackthorn when they were happening. Like, my wife took the silversmithing class. I didn't. But all the intensive are worth it. If you're interested in one of those things, go take it. And if there's one local to you, take that. The ones at the Maker Camp, though, are like I go to. So I highly recommend them. If you missed out this year on any of them, start saving money. I think there's still the Group Forge coming up.
Yep, in a couple weeks. 2 weeks.
I don't know if there's any spots for that left, but if there is and you're interested, go do that. That's a little bit different. That's less of an intensive and more of a group project. And then the timber framing one called the Timber Inn's coming up. There's tickets for that. So if you're on the fence, just buy them. It's worth it.
Yeah, I think that one was July 19th.
Yeah, for some reason that date, or that weekend of July 19th. I don't know if that's the initial day it starts. But yeah.
Yeah, the 19th is a Friday, if that's correct. If that's the correct date. So yeah. Makes sense.
And I mean, I told a couple of people I was going, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's, I couldn't afford it, or this or that, or the date didn't work out. I'm like, dude, the next time, like when the dates come out for 25, I guess it would be, like, start saving money. Like, if you wanted to take one, it's worth it. So start saving your money now. And
yeah.
And then the day those dates come out, just lock it down on your social calendar and get there. It's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. All the people were great. It was fun, even with the bad weather. It always seems to be bad weather.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the weather. Like, we didn't get much snow at my house this year, so it was nice to actually be up there when it was snowing and stuff. And there was like 4 inches, but I kept running like different things, so I kept leaving and coming back. And at one point I was coming back, and I, like, everyone parks up by the pavilion because there's only so many people there,
right?
Eight people or whatever. So everyone parks right at the pavilion. And at one point I was driving over, and it was like, I don't know. I'd been over at Terra Hall for a couple hours, and I was going back over to the pavilion. So I figured I'd drive. So it's nice just to have your car in case you want to go somewhere. It's all of 200 yards. I know that. But I drove over, and I didn't realize how much snow had happened in between then. And I went to drive up just that little, like, it's that little knoll going up to the pavilion, and my little car got stuck. I mean, I got it out, or I didn't need any assistance, but I was going up the hill, and it slid to the side, and I hit the grass, and it, like, stopped. And I went to go forward and backwards. I was like, you know what? No one's coming or leaving, so I'm just going to park it right here. And then I went in. Did more of the class. It was funny.
Yeah, sounds it. That's one thing that up here is kind of all-wheel drive is kind of a necessity.
Yeah.
Our winters are such that.
Yeah, I mean, in bad weather here, it's the same way. And I have all-wheel drive, like, I have four-wheel drive vehicles at the house.
But not the one you brought with you.
No, it was like 70 degrees like a week ago here.
Yeah,
it was cold last week. And I was like, it can't be that bad. And they kept calling for rain here. I just figured it was going to rain up there. I'd take the fuel-efficient car. And it wasn't until I was on the way there, and I was on Clubhouse, and Adam's like, yeah, we're going to get snow this weekend. And I'm like, uh-oh. I think I brought the wrong car.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no shortage of four-wheel drive vehicles to tow you out if you needed it. But I was able to rock it out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have winter tires on that thing. I mean, it's springtime.
Well, no, I'm looking at your weather and it's, yeah, I wouldn't have, well, actually, I don't have some, I don't have winters on my car either. Our winter was this mile, was that mile that it was more rain than anything. So I never put my winters on.
That and it's mountain weather. So like they could call for rain and it could snow, you know, they could call for snow and it could rain. It changes the drop.
Yeah. Just wait 10 minutes. It'll change.
Yep. So there is that. But yeah, it was a great time. I had fun. I made a little, I don't know, head, like Easter Island style head.
Oh yeah. You got a chance to make one of those? That's
yeah.
Pretty cool. I was watching his video of that the other day, and that's a pretty neat process that he goes through to make that.
Yeah. Like the, so the draw knife process, I understand, right? Could I do it? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not a big blacksmith, right? But I understand the process of how a draw knife is made now after watching Cliff do it at Maker Camp and then at this class. So I get it, right? I think I could figure that out at home. So when he said, if you want to make one of these heads, I'll show you how to do that. I was like, well, I don't know how that's done at all, right? It's nothing I've ever done before. Like all the processes are different. So I was like, why don't I try and make one of these here with him there so I could ask him questions. And then if I want to make a draw knife, I can do that at home. So that's what I did. And I'm happy I did it that way. Because I wouldn't have been able to, like, I mean, you can watch his videos on it and he goes through every step, right? But even watching it, you'd be like, there's no way I could do that, you know?
Yeah, I really couldn't think of how to do it because I'm not an artist in any kind of fashion. So like drawing a face, like for me is like it's a round circle with a couple dots in the middle. Like it's not.
Yeah. And like I've done the skulls before and those are easy and I have the process to it, but there's not much detail in the skulls I make, right?
No.
A couple eye sockets, maybe a nose hole. Sometimes I'll draw in the teeth, sometimes I don't, you know? And it doesn't even have to look like a skull. It looks like it could look like a cartoon version of a skull and I'd be happy. But doing the face is a lot different. There's a lot more steps in there and it was a lot of fun to try and learn. Like that's the type of stuff I would do blacksmithing here. And like, I'm not going to go out and make knives or hammers or tools or railings or it's just not me. But to screw around and make like a little head every now and then, that seems fun.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a neat idea. When I first saw it, I thought it was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. I could see myself, like if I was making handles, like if I had to make a handle for something, like I made a nightstand or something and I want to blacksmith a handle for it, while that's heating up, I could also be working on the, like a head just for the sake of doing it, you know? That's what I like about those things.
Yeah, and something like that, like your heat would be a little longer because you're using what, inch, 3/4 bar, something like that?
I think I was using 3/4 bar.
Yeah, so that's a long, that can, well, once it's hot, it's not too bad, but I think, but depending on how long you've got it out of the fire too, like it'd take a little bit to get that hot.
Yeah, but the way I was doing it, like you want it real hot and then you don't want it like cooling off a bit too to do some of the detail work. So
yeah, when you're planishing things and like smoothing things out, you don't want to have it so you can move a lot of metal. You want to make it so you can move just a touch.
Yeah. And we were using those Apollo forges, which heat things up real fast anyway. So
yeah, they looked like they were cranking.
They were. It was the first time I used them. It's pretty cool to use those. Like you would throw something in, and like I'm used to my Mr. Volcano where you put it in and you're waiting around for a while, right? Not really with these things.
Although, yeah.
I've never used a forge other than a coal forge that wasn't a Mr. Volcano. So it was my first time using, I guess, a quote unquote real forge. So, I mean, at High Caliber Camp, I used one, but I was doing like real thin stuff anyway. So it was heating anything up. So I wasn't even taking note of like putting something big in there and how long it would heat up.
Yeah, my experience with them at camp, I think it seemed like they had them turned down a little. I think that was on purpose. Like they weren't like welding heat. That's what I mean by turned down. Like they were more of a forging heat than a welding heat. So from the pictures and video I saw this weekend, it looked like you guys were closer, maybe not completely to welding heat, but a lot closer than we were at camp.
I know. I mean, I don't know how they work. I don't know any of that stuff. But I do know at some point I heard Austin tell Jimmy these things are running at half a PSI.
Yep.
So I don't know how any of the other stuff works. I just thought half a PSI, that's pretty low, but they were cooking.
It is. It becomes more about volume at that point. So PSI is kind of misleading.
Yeah, we don't have to get into this.
Yeah, we don't have to get into it, but the PSI is relative, but it's more about the volume of gas that you're getting in there. But
he had three of them hooked up, and eventually we were just down to two because there was also the coal iron, was an induction forge.
Oh, the induction forge, yeah. How would that work? I meant to ask.
Yeah, we'll get to there. Okay. Going back to the Apollos, had those, and he had them hooked up to 100-pound propane tanks, and he went probably 60 to 70% over the course of the weekend with them burning from 10 a.m. to midnight or more every night.
Oh, really? You guys were going that late?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they were turned off at lunch and then turned off at dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
But then after dinner, everyone went back up there and they all wanted a forge, and it was cold, so it was also keeping us hot. But he also had a one of those, what is that thing Lucas got? The Sunfire
heater. Oh, the heater, yeah.
Man, that thing's a game changer. That got that whole pavilion warm.
Nice.
And that's just tent walls, you know, and it's high. And when you were in there, you were warm. I mean, if you went over to it, you were hot.
Nice.
If you stood away from it, you were warm. It was nice.
So we know where Roy will be this coming group forge.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be
boots off.
Boots off. Yeah. Drying in front of that thing. That thing is nice. And you could be back like, I don't know, 10 feet from it and still be hot. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, the induction forge, man, if I had one of those, I would blacksmith. One of those in a press, man, I'd be blacksmithing all the time. Call Iron if you're listening. Want to be charitable.
Yeah. They look like fun thing to use. Quick heats, for sure.
Well, what I like about it a lot is you could do a localized heat in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no blacksmith, so I don't know what's better. But like for me, when I was doing some stuff, I could just heat this area and not worry about overheating other parts and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be, I'm trying to think of an analogy like through camera work, but it'd be the same idea as like the different lenses that you use. They all have different purposes. And it's the same with the forges. Like something like, well, you look at it like Brian's got the Apollo, and then he's made another one for the Baker Forge and Tool guys. I forget which is a double. It's double long, so it's made for bigger billets. And then he made the hammer one for Gnome Hammer that he just picked up. So like they're a tool, and they all have different uses. So it doesn't. And then something like the induction one, it also has different attachments for it. So you can put different things on, so it'll do different sizes and different shapes and all kinds of different things. So they lend themselves to very different things. And then coal, kind of the same thing. Like it, you're able to do focused heats. If you make the fire big enough, you do bigger heats. Like it's just what you want to do with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a different tool for a different idea. But like for a guy like me who just wants to heat up small stuff, it would be perfect. Because for me, it's a production to get out the Mr. Volcano, set it up in the driveway, you know?
Yeah, for something like that, they're great. They're great for like a quick heat, a quick small heat. You don't need a piece that's 6 feet long that's, you know, welding heat.
Yeah.
You just need something that's, you know, a heat that's 3 to 4 inches at the most for what, and all depends on what you're doing, right? But yeah, I see the merit in them. I just don't have the space for it or the power yet. That's going to change this spring.
And then they have the water in it, so you got to keep it antifreezed. And
Yeah, I'd have to do some stuff to. Well, it would have to be antifreeze. I'm not going to keep that shop heated just for that.
Yeah, it's probably good to run antifreeze in it anyway. But
yeah,
That thing was cool. It's like plane operation though, being inside the coils. If anyone doesn't know, it's an induction. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, induction.
An induction forge uses a current through like this copper piping that you do loops on, and you put your piece of metal in it, and through induction, it'll heat up the metal. And through those coils, it's pumping water. That's how it works, or cools itself off or whatever. But
yeah, because if you didn't have the water or the cooling through the coil, the copper would melt, because copper's not rated for that kind of heat.
Yeah.
You melt copper before you're able to forge steel.
But yeah, it was cool to see it work, and then to use it was cool. I liked it. I thought that was cool. And then I used the press again this weekend, but not for anything really that I was making, just because I like smashing metal in the press. And then it turned out, like, I had this one chunk of thing and I heated it up and I just wanted to practice with the press. So I was using the press for a bit. And then it wound up being a makeshift chisel that I used for the head. So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, sounds it.
Yep. You'll be there in 2 weeks, right, for the group forge?
Yeah. Basically get home, finish the table, work a couple nights, and head for camp on be Thursday night kind of thing, or Thursday, something like that. On one of those days that end in Y, I'll be heading for camp.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always excited for it, because it's just every time I've gone back to camp and then you see, you know, the first two projects, and then like everybody's just kind of like amazed by it. And it's like kind of, it's a big source of pride to be part of that. So If there's any event that I will not forego in a year, it would be that one. I definitely will be trying my best to make every one that I can as they progress.
That one is cool.
But actually one thing that I wanted to bring up. So I'm all signed up now for Urbana. I'm going to Urbana for the 50th anniversary event that they're having in June. It's like June 5th.
Is that the one with the competition that you were trying to get?
I was trying to get some guys together, but I think I've only got a couple. So, and I'm not sure that that's open anymore, to be honest with you. I gotta look at that. But yeah, it's definitely something. If we can get some guys to jump on board, I'm all for it. But
yeah, see what happens.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you happen to be going to Urbana this year, let me know. and want to participate in the forging event.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, it's June 6th to the 9th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You going to the timber in this year?
No, I can't manage that one. It actually works. Last year kind of worked out, because it was worked into my days off, but this year, it does not. It's directly in my days of work. So
yeah, you're not going to use vacation days for that.
No, it's definitely a worthwhile event, but for me, it's more of a hangout. So I don't really want to burn up vacation for a hangout. That's what it is for me.
Yeah, well, you popped in, you're only there for a day.
Yeah, it was good fun though. Like that event is I can see for a woodworker it would be a fun one, and
even for a non-woodworker. I mean, you don't need to be a woodworker to.
No, you're right, because I had
meet you
I had,
there and yeah
yeah I could have, if I had shown up and said, yeah, I want to learn how to timber frame, it would have been a great event too. It's very different than like the group forge, because it's because we're not, the difference, well, I think we talked about this before, but for the timber end, your project finishes at camp. For the group forge, your project finishes on Sunday. So your time constraint is much different.
Is it?
I don't know. I think it is.
Is it?
Well, you just have to. Anyways.
Is it? We'll start the battle of the woodworkers versus the blacksmiths.
Yeah. Today. Yeah. Let's get after it.
You want to go down this road? I will destroy you.
I'm aware. Yeah. So I just, as we were talking here, I looked through. The registration is still open if anybody is interested for the competition side of things. And it says there are 8 spots still open. So, like I say, I'm putting the push on again if anybody wants to. I think I have 2 others tentative, but...
So how many more people? Is that how many people to a team?
It's four to a team. So I only need one more if the 2 that said they were in are in. I haven't talked to them in a bit, so... But...
And just for the record, it's a cost to enter the competition.
Yeah,
Working Hands is covering it. So if you want to compete and you want to be on the team with Tony, just reach out to Tony. You're on the team. Entry fees paid for.
Yeah. So
just to the competition, not your trip to the abandon. Let's make that clear. You got to get yourself to abandon and pay to get into this Johnstown, PA event.
Right.
But once you're in there.
Yeah. So, I think it'd be fun to try. Fun to just have some fun with it. And, I think it's going to be an interesting event. It's not, I don't think it's quite as social as, say, Maker Camp, but it should be a fun thing to do. I don't know what there's not a whole lot to do in Johnstown, so. I'm trying to figure out where to stay. So if anybody knows the area, knows what would be one of the better spots to stay at, like I should start booking now because I'm sure stuff is going to fill up.
I think my brother said he was there once.
Oh, okay.
I believe he said there's no reason to go there.
Yeah, so I think it's an old steel town, so it's...
He may have a hotel recommendation for you.
Yes, okay.
Brian hooked Tony up.
Yeah, so that's what... so that's my only concern at this point is hotels, but I'm going to sort that out. So, yeah, and I'm even open to an Airbnb, so if anybody's going that... wants to maybe save a little. But the trouble with Airbnb in Johnstown is that most are a single room. So, and I've never liked that idea. I want a house. It doesn't have to be a house, but it has,
no one else is in there but the people that you bring in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
you don't want to be next to Creeper McGee at his house,
Well, that could happen, but we actually did that once in Bar Harbor. One time we did an Airbnb and it was a tiny house.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was a tiny house. It was basically a garden shed that they turned into a living
a bedroom.
Space.
Yeah.
Well, it had everything. There was a sink, a bathroom, a shower, a couch that folded out. You slept on the floor, but the couch folded it, like opened up, and you used it as part of the mattress or whatever. My feet were like, if you were much taller than me, you would not have had a good night because basically my head was on the up against the bathroom wall and my feet were underneath the sink. Yeah, and that was the longest distance in that room.
I think if you're a large man, you shouldn't be looking at tiny homes anyway.
Yeah, well.
That's like a guy who's 7 foot tall going to look at a Miata. It ain't going to work, bud.
Yeah, true. So.
Actually, a Miata might, because you could just open the top. It's a bad example. You know what I mean.
No, I've been in a Miata. They're not, I don't know. My parents wanted a long story, but my parents wanted to buy one at one point in time. And my dad's really good at saying, "Hey, this is close to you. Can you go have a look at that for me?" All right. So I go have a look, get in the thing, drive it. Honestly, they're light, so they're peppy. Like it's, you can tell it's a quick little car, but man, oh man, the rattles and the clangs and the bangs and stuff that you could hear in that thing were horrible. But it's because when the roof comes up, it's like not the protection, but it's like the wall between the trunk and the cabin.
Yeah.
And there's no barrier between the trunk and the cabin at that point with the roof up. So anything, any kind of suspension noises in the rear, you can hear.
Yeah.
So it was not.
I like them though. I think I would enjoy driving a Miata from the inside. You know what I mean? Like, I bet it's a fun car to drive if you're in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how could it, like, to have that many people driving them when you know how bad they look from the outside?
Some of them look good. The ones, like, with the hard top on them. The new ones look pretty sweet. Newer.
The newer ones do. I mean, the older ones are pretty rough. Like, they didn't look good even in their day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, like, I'm a Mini fan. So,
well, that's funny.
I like Minis.
My parents ended up buying a Mini.
Yeah, because they're smart. But like I like driving a Mini is a lot of fun. Like my GTI now, it's not as fun to drive as the Mini,
in my opinion. Did you guys have a Mini before or no?
I've had two Minis. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And one was getting a little old, and I decided, oh, let me try a GTI. And I'd say after about a month after owning the GTI, I was just like, it's not the same as a Mini. I wish I had bought another Mini.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with the GTI. It's just, you know, I always had fun driving in the Mini. Like, I thought it was fun. It felt like a go-kart. The steering was different, you know. It's built differently. It rides a little differently. So when you're doing 60, it feels like you're going faster than when you're doing 60 in the GTI. Even though the GTI is only like a second faster than the Mini or whatever, like it's pretty close, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've always been a big fan of, you've watched Top Gear before and the Grand Tour now, I guess it is. Like they talk about that, like where, you know, they always take those hot hatches out and they'll be like, these are awesome because you're doing speed limit, but it feels like you're not. It feels like you're.
Yeah.
You're doing something wrong in a way.
So. It's like, I don't know. I always equate it like, sure, I could buy a Corvette, right? Or Camaro or Mustang and go out and run through the gear. But like, they're all built for straight line top speed. When are you really doing that ever, right? Hardly ever. Or you go out and you spend a ton of money on an M3 or whatever, M4 or whatever they are, right? It's not going to have the same feel as like when you're driving a Mini or a Volkswagen or something and running it through the gears. Like just, I don't know. I think the joy in the daily driving that you're going to do is better in the smaller cars.
Yeah, I got you. I'm kind of the same way with the motorcycles and stuff too. Like I find the bike I have now, like I've gotten well over the speed limit on it and then look down and be like, oh crap. Yeah. Like not like it the bike moves and doesn't, you don't know that it's, you're doing this. That's the problem with it, is you don't know you're doing the speed you're doing until you look down at the speedometer and go, oh crap, I should back off this.
Yeah. I mean, I've driven like Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Porsches. Actually, there's a Porsche I love, but I would buy in a heartbeat, but Lotus, I drove all of them, right? I've driven them all. But for daily driving, I think one of those like little hot hatches. But a Porsche Cayman I would buy. A 5-speed Porsche Cayman. I'd buy that over a 911 for the same reason, right?
Yeah.
A 911's very polished and it's cool. It's fun. It's fast. Yeah, it's faster than most things you're going to drive. But it doesn't have the fun factor of like a Porsche Cayman, the 5-speed or 6-speed or whatever they were.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of in the same boat with like an old square body Chev or Ford, Dodge, whatever, any of those big three manufacturers, the square bodies with the butt, a square body with a resto mod would be like my,
oh yeah,
I would, yeah, take my money.
Yep. Yep. Like for me, if I win the lottery, I would get a resto modded Ford Bronco.
Yeah. What did I see the other day? And it popped up on Facebook Marketplace of all things, but it wasn't that far away from here, but it was a one ton dually Chev crew cab that was slammed, and it was like it was obnoxious what it was. But at the same time, I was like, if it wasn't so obnoxious, it would have been cool. But it was, yeah, it still had some coolness to it, but but it was like, buddy wanted way too much money for it. But it was like a turbo diesel, like big, huge diesel in it, like just a massive engine in it. I remember 5-speed, like, yeah, it was not, I wouldn't call it resto modded. It was like jammed a different engine in it. And like, there was a lot wrong with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was like an 80s. So it was an 80s crew cab long bed. That was part, that was one problem with it. Like it was, the thing would have been like 30 feet long. Like it was ridiculous. Been
cool though.
Oh man. Well, and then there was other things with it. They had, he had transport truck tires on it. So it would have been difficult. Like the rims and tires were transport truck rated tires. And I was like, oh, well now you're talking probably $1,000 a tire. And I was like, no. No, this would be a really bad decision. Probably a
whole host of other problems with it.
Yeah. Oh, that was just what I was looking at from the start. I can't imagine what it'd be like to drive every day. Probably 8 miles of the gallon or something.
He probably didn't know how to wire it and didn't wire it right. He built it for looks, not for use.
Yeah, it was definitely, definitely an issue.
But it would have been cool.
Yeah. And then I've seen that before. I think I sent it to you one time. There was one of the old 3-ton or 5-ton Chevys, single axle truck. Yeah,
with the pickup bed on it?
Yeah, this, what they call them. They used to call them a
There's top, a word for it.
Top kick, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a top
something kick.
Something kick. Yeah. I can remember that, like, my grandfather had those. Like, he used them in the woods as, like, logging trucks. But I always thought, because the cabs and stuff were very similar to like your normal on-road truck at the time, I was like, man, that'd be cool. But I wanted to do that in high school. I wanted to buy one and then work on it, like build it to do that with. And then I never did.
Yeah. I see them a lot here. They turn them into, I mean, I call them toy haulers, but like those top kicks, they use them for like the horse farms and stuff. Use them.
Yeah, well, they're not even, that's not even like modified by, like, that's you get them built that way.
Yeah,
like they're sharp.
Yeah, they're cool. But, well, in the meantime, what do you think we thank those patrons, Tony?
Yeah, let's do that. All right. So we have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beck with Makes, NB Wood Finery, and then our top tier, we have Eastboke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence, MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housework of Housemade.us, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Widoworks, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, Andrew of Hatch Made It, and Jim of the Tradesman Channel. Thank you all. We really appreciate the support.
Thank you all. You guys are all fantastic. So what else, Tony?
I could talk about everything I had written down. So then we got talking about old trucks.
Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about this.
Yeah. I could go on for old trucks forever, so I had to end it, you know. I had to put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, I saw what were they? Like the C the C-10s. I saw one of those the other day in a reel. I think it's one of the lists I sent you there the other day that didn't work because you were.
Oh, they did work, but I haven't gone back through them yet. Oh,
okay. So yeah,
when I got home, I opened it.
There's one there with the I remember had a green C-10 with the white roof.
I love that.
Yeah,
I really do.
So
I'm gonna see if I can't get my C-10 back.
Oh yeah, you still know the guy that has it.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything with it yet. I think I'm on a mission. I think we'll talk about it in the after show. But I'm selling the Jeep. I'm selling the truck. I'm selling the motorcycles. I'm selling it all. Selling a bunch of tools. I am offloading everything.
Nice.
Spring cleaning sale. Everything's gone.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the weather to warm up, and it's coming soon. And I'm gonna be doing a spring clean, dumpster out front yard. Everything must go.
Yeah,
because I'm getting tired of the mess and the clutter.
I'm selling 4 vehicles, a bunch of tools. I'm gonna sell the CNC. I think everything's going. Everything, fire sale, drill presses, table saw, 2x72. It's all going.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yep, yep, yep. All right, with that, what do you say, Tony? Start wrapping up the show.
Sounds good to me.
So. We got a review recently, and before we leave, I want to implore everyone to go out and give us a review on Apple. It would be fantastic. If you don't have an Apple account, you could just sign up for one and then give us a review. It would be beautiful. We would love it. But we recently got one, and it was by somebody named Shreepy. I could be pronouncing that wrong, but it was done. It's called Spudtacular. Peeling back the layers of woodworking craftsmanship, the Working Hands podcast serves up a hearty portion of spectacular insights and chipworthy tips that any woodworking enthusiast would find gratifying. Each episode is mashed to perfection, offering a rich blend of knowledge and inspiration akin to the perfect blend of butter and sour cream on a baked potato. The hosts carve out discussions as smoothly as a freshly sharpened chisel through pine, revealing the meaty substance of woodworking with the precision of a perfectly diced potato. Whether you're a seasoned woodworker or just sprouting your interest in the craft, this podcast promises a bushel of knowledge enough to grow your skills from small fries to the big leagues. Working Hands podcast is the ultimate comfort food for the woodworker's soul, leaving you satisfied yet always hungry for more. Truly a spectacular show not to be missed. Thank you, Shreepy. But I believe that is in response to the one we had with Big Bear where we talked about the Dave Bitworth potato.
Yeah, I would say that was a response debacle. To that. Yeah. The debacle? I think if you were there, it was really good. I don't know. Yeah. The debacle is only if you missed it.
Yeah. But obviously, the way we record this is the first time we saw it since we recorded, so... I appreciate the review. If you want to write a review, that one was written by ChatGTP, and I know that because when they copied and pasted it in, they left the ChatGTP mark on the top.
They did.
Which is fine. If you want to use ChatGTP to write your review, let's hear it. Just put in some weird things. It could make fun of us, do whatever, as long as it's 5 stars. Send it. Send them all. Keep writing them. Just keep reviewing the show. We would greatly appreciate it. But you could also share the show with all of your friends in your... social medias, that would help. Tell them, just put it on for them on their phone, you know, all of that helps. But in the meantime, if you want to follow Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Gmail, Working Hands 3 on TikTok. You can find us on the emails, but if you have a question for us, write it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate that too. And make what you fear. Coming to a close. So get those posts in. Tag Working Hands. Tag, tag, tag. Later.
Later.